Awesome. What's up, Destiny Conference? How are we doing today? Everybody good? I just want to take one quick moment and give honor where honor is due. Are you guys really, really, really grateful for Dr. Phil Brassfield and Kathy Brassfield and their heart for leaders? Love you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you to Pastor Tommy and the host church and all the people that are serving. What a great, great conference to be at. And I get the honor and privilege to talk to a bunch of preachers about preaching. So come on, somebody. You guys love preaching? You hearing from God? Got fresh revelation? Do you love preaching? I actually love preaching. It's a calling. It's something I love to do. We're hearing from God, right? Our best sermon is our next sermon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that next one is going to just change the world. Like, it's an incredible revelation. If Billy Graham would have had this, he really could have done something. Like, you know, this next sermon that I'm going to preach. And I love preaching. I love hearing from God. I love communicating the Word of God. And one of the ways that I found to do that and what I was asked to talk about is teaching in series. So I did a lot of research. I spent hours looking and searching and researching, and I really never found the verse that tells us in the Bible to preach in series. And so I'm just going to kind of share out of my heart a little bit why I do it. And I just want to give you a couple of reasons why I think it's really beneficial to do this. And we have an app session in a little bit, and we'll be sharing some nuts and bolts in that session. We'd love to see you there. But one of the reasons I really love it is because it just really helps people. And at the end of the day, I just really want to help people live out their God-intended purpose and live out what God has called them to do. And Barna did a survey about 15 years ago, and he actually just did it again. I'm more familiar with the survey from about 15 years ago, but he asked people why they don't go to church. And there were several reasons why people had either stopped going to church or just didn't connect with it. But one of the reasons that's on the new survey and on the old survey is because what they heard preached on Sunday didn't connect with what they were living on Monday. It was like what they were hearing was in a different language, and it didn't translate into what they were living on Monday morning. And I think that's the challenge for anybody that's communicating, isn't just to preach a sermon, but to actually put it into a context where it shows up again, not just on Sunday in a church, but it shows up again on Monday in their lives. And I love this passage, and I don't have a verse for my talk, and now I'm going to read the Message version, so you can label me a heretic if you want to. But John 1:14 says this. He said, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And I think the goal of preaching ought to be to take Jesus in His Word and move it into people's neighborhoods. To put it into where they're living. And have y'all noticed that the crowd is out of balance? This is working on me. Everybody's on the right-hand side. Like, this ship is going to sink at some point. So, okay. So the goal of preaching is to take Jesus through His Word. I'm just going to go to these guys. You're abandoned. The goal of preaching is to take Jesus through His Word and put it into their neighborhood. And I think it's important sometimes to ask this question, and I ask myself this question a lot, is this, am I saying what I want to say, or am I saying what they really need to hear? Am I bringing Jesus into their neighborhood? Am I bringing Jesus into their marriage? Am I bringing Jesus through His Word into their finances? Am I bringing Jesus through His Word into their cubicle? Am I bringing it into their world? And one of the most practical ways that I've found to do that is to take a series and to take a topic and to go for something practical. I think sometimes the tendency is to want to be powerful when we preach, and that's great, man. I love powerful preaching. But can I tell you, sometimes one of the most powerful things you can do is just teach something practical that's going to change the way somebody lives. That it's going to revolutionize their marriage. And it was a struggle for me Honestly, I mean, who in this room, if you communicate, you don't want to be a great preacher, right? Like, I want to preach the next great thought. I want to have the next great thing. And it was such a struggle for me to wrap my mind around that my role as a lead pastor is really just to serve and to feed the flock of God and to help them become everything that God's called for them to become. And I was sitting in a session one time at Saddleback, and Rick Warren was teaching, and he was talking about, you know, if my bullet fits your gun, shoot it. And he was like, let's just use material. Let's just do what's helpful. Let's just give people what they need to hear. And he said something, and it hit me so hard because I was wanting to be original. I was wanting to be fresh. I was wanting to just really create graphics and sermons and series and just had this drive. And he said something that hit me so hard. He said that it's a form of spiritual pride to withhold something useful because it's not original. And it really caused me. It was one of those moments like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to change what I do because it's not about me being original. The priority is to be helpful. So I'm going to look at what we do as a church, and I'm going to throw originality out the window. I'm even going to throw my desire to be the best out the window. And I'm just going to take Jesus through His Word. I'm going to put it in their neighborhood. I'm going to put it where they live. And I'm going to build them into everything God's called them to be. When you talk about practical, man, it's not as fun sometimes for us to preach things that are super practical. Like, one of the things that I don't enjoy is preaching on financial stewardship. Does that ever, like, really excite anybody? Like, nobody ever really just fell out in the aisle, slain in the spirit, over talking about how Jesus wants you to have a budget. You know what I mean? Like, whoo, yeah, come on. Like, but the places where people are struggling, come on, the places where people are struggling is their finances. They're struggling in their marriage. They're struggling in raising their kids. They're struggling with how to cope and be a Christian in sometimes really anti-God environments at work, at school. And sometimes I think, again, the goal is for us to be powerful. And I think one of the most powerful things that you can do is just to be practical, to find resources to just help people live out their life and fulfill their God-given purpose in the earth today. I'm a big fan of a guy named Kevin Gerald, and I've never met anybody that had a personal mission statement, but his personal mission statement is to locate and communicate wisdom. And I thought that was so brilliant. If I locate it in my own mind, that's great. I love coming. I hope I'm always fresh. Don't ever be new. Just be fresh. If you find something new, you're probably not in the Bible, so let's just keep it fresh. They've heard Samson 100 times. Let's don't find something new on Samson. Let's find something fresh on Samson. But let's find it. Let's take it to where they live, and let's build people up. Because how many of you know the Word of God is powerful? I don't have to be powerful. The Word of God is powerful. If I'll put it in their neighborhood, Jesus will do a work in their lives. And so it's great if I come up with something every once in a while. We do an original series. A lot of times we do unoriginal series. We just keep it fresh. We pray it through. We think it through. We put it into our context. But the priority is not to be original. The priority is to be helpful, because at the end of the day, I've been called to be a shepherd that feeds his sheep. And if Jimmy Evans has something better on relationships than I'll ever come up with, which he always does, then I'm going to preach Jimmy Evans stuff, because I don't want somebody to get divorced because I had too much pride to give them the information to help their marriage and help them be what God called them to be. So number one is it really helps people. And I think that ought to be the drive behind whatever we do. I'm not here to sell you on anything, but however you communicate on Sunday morning, I just think it ought to start with not what do I want to say, but what is it that they really need to hear. And the second thing is it really helps my church. It helps us plan and strategize. We plan out the next year. We have 12 months of series plan. We pray. We look at what are the spiritual needs of our congregation. And it helps us get a strategy together. The other thing that I love is it helps me harness the energy of my church. You guys know, like, on any given Sunday, you've got maybe 60 or 70% of your congregation there, and half of them aren't paying attention anyway.
Like, you know what I mean? That person that comes up and you were preaching on Moses and they heard Joseph somehow and you're like, what service were you sitting in? What did you hear? Like, that wasn't anything to do with the sermon that I preached, but they heard what they wanted to hear. And a series helps you harness the collective energy of your church, because on a Sunday you've got 60 to 70% of the people there. If you'll do a 4-week series on a topic, it helps you take your church on that journey and collectively harness their energy and their focus and take them somewhere. And so we'll do 4-week series. We really don't do over 4-week series. I don't ever do over 3 weeks on money. That's about all people can handle preaching on money, but it just helps us move our church forward. Just to give you an example of that, I'm going to close with this, but just to give you an example of this, we were wanting to launch a third service at the beginning of this year, and so we built a series around launching a third service. I mean, like every Sunday for 4 weeks, we were gearing up towards launching the third service, because how many of you know it's a big ask to get people out of a primetime service over into attending service at a time where people don't generally go to church. Our third service is at 12:30, and just honestly, weird people go to church at 12:30. That's a weird, odd crowd. And so we're trying to get people to go to that service and get to that place. And so we did a series called House Party, and we talked through the parables of Jesus saying, come on, I want my house to be full. Go out into the highways and the byways and compel everybody that you can to come. And we put a chair on the stage and we asked people, like, every time you get out of this seat, then somebody else is going to sit in that seat. And we don't see the value in it because we paid $35 for the church chair. And so we don't value that chair like Jesus does, because come on, somebody, Jesus paid a whole lot more for that chair. He shed his blood for that chair. He paid for it so that somebody could sit in that chair, have their eternity changed by the power of Jesus' name. And so we launched the third service, and God's been really, really good to us. I'll tell you, man, it's easier to tweak a calendar than it is to create a calendar. I got so tired of trying to create things as we went along. We plan out 12 months. We may change it along the way. But at the end of the day, it just really helps people. It really helps our church. And it puts Jesus in their neighborhood. And it helps people. Come on, let's take the Word of God. Let's take Jesus through His Word. Put it in their neighborhood. And let's build churches. Let's move churches forward. Let's move people forward. And let's take territory in Jesus' name. God bless you guys.